afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Dave Allen is my co-host today as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Wednesday. Hear that, Dave? It's Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, it's the last happy hump day of May 2019, Melody. Hello.
How about that? Hello to you. And we also have Wendy Wilson. She's waiting to come on and to educate us all about staying healthy from Apothecary Herbs, Wendy Wilson. But first, let's go ahead and do the market report today. And prices were sort of all over the page today, but gold today. You know, we had a high of 1286. I know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to hear the high when we're holding at 1280. Closer to 1281 for gold today, and but a high of 1286 at the open. Silver was up 7 pennies today at 1451. Platinum was down 5 at 796. Palladium was up 2 at 1350. USDX today, up 0.21 at 98.17. Crude oil was down 30 cents at 58.84. Surprises me with the dollar strength as it is that gold did as well as it did. The Dow was down originally early in the day over 300 points, closer to 4. It looks like it's settling out at 25,126, down 221. The NASDAQ, 7,547, down 60. The S&P, 2,783, down 19 points today. But all your Asian and European markets, they were all down. London was down 1.15%. Germany was down a little over 1.5%. Japan was down one and a quarter percent. So all the Asian and European markets were down big. And of course, this all is related back to the trade issues and so forth. And we'll talk about that. Well, also, what's interesting is the 10-year yield. 2.24%. Again, ladies and gentlemen, more signs that a recession is right around the corner. I don't know how many warnings you have, but we'll continue to warn you, you know, until you get out of that paper and into some gold. Wendy Wilson today is joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
Hey there.
I thought we'd talk about this doctor who has proven vaccines cause diabetes and other diseases. You know, I've been talking about, you know, vaccines being a problem, and medicine is known about this. There was a publication, Diabetes in Control. It was reported on the scientific research that has proven vaccines increase the risk of developing type 2 diabetes by 50%. So modern medicine has actually witnessed an explosion in the diabetic disease area, and they've been claiming for some time it's all about, you know, your organs are to blame or your genetics or your diet. Now, in some cases, that may be true, but this was a peer review research. It says that the cause of many instances is really from medicine itself. So there's been this rise in childhood diabetes, which has been shown to correlate with the increased use of vaccines. We're going to get to it. Research was done by a Dr. Bartholomew Klassen. He got his research published in the April 8, 2008 Journal of Open Endocrinology, and also it was published in the Journal of Molecule and Genetic Medicine May 12th of 2014. So this research is over 13 years old, in which, you know, you have to realize a lot of doctors have read these reports. What's up with that, right?
Yeah, really.
Here's a quote from the report Klassen wrote. He said, convincing evidence that the rapid increase in the number of vaccines given to the United States children has now created a state of immune overload in a majority of patients and is being manifested in epidemics of diabetes, obesity, and autism. He goes on to say the research seems to be quite complete, indicating there is evidence that a large segment of autism cases, called an epidemic in the report, is linked also to type 1 diabetes, and both, he says, are prompted by an inflammatory autoimmune component. So according to the diabetic area, he said, scientifically speaking, when patients get vaccinated, it can create in some individuals this hyperactive immune system response, produces autoimmune destruction of insulin-secreting cells. In other patients, he says, it can create an increased production of cortisol and suppress immune system molecules, causing vaccine-induced inflammation, which leads to type 2 diabetes, obesity, and metabolic syndrome. So, according to this report, quote, it provides a review of the evidence that the vaccines are causing this epidemic of insulin-dependent diabetes type 1, obesity, and non-insulin-dependent diabetes type 2. So, you know who's backing this guy up? A lot of studies from Canada and Italy. In Italy, they backed up the Claussen research. They said they had convincing evidence in their medical professional studies that appeared in August 2011 in the Journal of Pediatric Endocrinology and Metabolism. They reported additional evidence that there's this real link between vaccinations and childhood obesity, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. And this research confirmed Claussen's findings. They also reported that this is an alarming trend, and the vaccines are causing an epidemic of illness. I mean, people have been sounding the alarm for some time. This is not new research, but nobody seems to be listening. Well, people in who kind of control this area, we'll get to that in a minute. So a lot of established clinical evidence. There's a lot of medical clinical trials that have been done by credible scientists and physicians that have shown your vaccines are the culprit. So when medicine knows it is the cause and it continues to use the treatment, which can either threaten life or shorten it, that's called an assault. So here's not a complete list of the studies that confirmed Dr. Claussen's research. This is one from the Diabetic and Metabolism Syndrome Journal, Clinical Research and Review, December 8, 2008. They found Asians and non-white minorities are at a higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Caucasians are at a higher risk of developing type 1 diabetes and autoimmune disorders from vaccines. An Open Endocrinology Journal article, also April 2008, said there's an evidential link between vaccination and epidemics of childhood obesity, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, high blood pressure, and altered blood lipids. Then the Pediatric Medicine Journal, February 2008, said children of diabetics have extremely high risk of developing vaccine-induced type 1 diabetes. So he says, especially from the HIV vaccine. So your influenza B vaccine given to all kids can put them at a high risk of getting diabetes. And a large Swedish study confirmed those findings, showed that the influenza B vaccine disrupted immunity, caused autoimmunity to the pancreas islet cells, which make insulin. So the vaccine actually attacks your pancreas. An Open Pediatric Medicine Journal, February 2008, said evidence of the hepatitis B vaccine caused type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes, and a peer-reviewed paper in the Journal of Pediatric Endocrinology and Metabolism in 2003 showed several common pediatric vaccines cause type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes. It occurs 2 to 4 years after the vaccination is given. And then a peer review paper at the Journal of Autoimmunity in 2002 said not only the common pediatric vaccines cause internal medicine disorders like diabetes, autoimmune, and obesity, they also found it happens after you get influenza vaccines, so your flu shots. Military vaccines were also on the list. They also increase the risk of insulin-dependent diabetes among recruits higher in women, 5.5 times higher compared to their male recruits of 2.5 times. So the risk is especially high if they're getting the anthrax vaccine, as data has showed after the Persian Gulf War, and the vaccine also increases the risk of Lou Gehrig's disease. All that research got published in the Clinical Practice of Alternative Medicine in 2001. And then they did a survey of doctors. And this was done in 2001. There was this physician survey given after physicians were exposed to all this data regarding vaccines and diabetes, and physician expressed concern that vaccines were causing chronic disease in their patients. Dr. Clausen presented the facts at an American College of Advancement in Medicine in Nashville, Tennessee. He presented their randomized clinical trial of a large group, the Finland research showing post-influenza vaccines, 17% of the individuals developed diabetes within 10 years. He went on to show that the patients who received the newer, more advanced and potent influenza vaccines, the rate increased by 25%. The data from other vaccines was also presented, coming from the CDC, which supported the clinical trial findings of Dr. Clausen. So Dr. Clausen showed doctors that common vaccines were not only causing insulin-dependent diabetes, but a wide range of diseases, including autism, allergies, asthma, diabetes, and autoimmune disorders. So other findings were all this clinical data is proving vaccines are pretty dangerous and does cause harm and is being largely ignored by the medical establishment, politicians who create vaccine mandates, and the legal system, okay? Because you have that vaccine court. Now, in November 4th, 1998, there was this report that was presented to the 62nd annual meeting of the American College of Rheumatology in San Diego, California. In this meeting, there was presented evidence that the hepatitis B vaccine causes rheumatic diseases like lupus and arthritis. They also presented confirming data from Canada. Canada confirmed those findings. Also, your tuberculosis BCG vaccine was reported out of Quebec, Canada, to cause diabetes in children, and that is given to them at 1 year of age. Also, your pertussis vaccine, your whooping cough vaccine, was reported from a Swedish study in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine that it was linked to asthma and allergies, and 10% of the patients developed those ages 2.5 years. So what do you think of this stuff?
Well, you know, it seems like there's study after study after study that shows that, you know, they certainly can, these vaccines can certainly, bring on some, you know, terrible, diseases to folks. And it was always amazing how the, no one really seems to care.
Well, hit the nail on the head there, because the statistical analysis, when they go back to when vaccines were introduced in the beginning, they actually can prove a lot of these childhood illnesses were on the decline because people were building up natural immunity, right? So people were already establishing a resistance to the disease before the vaccine. So really the vaccines, if you look at it closely, wasn't really created to prevent you from getting diseases. Dr. Clausen writes this. He says, the current data shows vaccines are much more dangerous than the public is led to believe, and adequate testing has never been performed, even in healthy subjects, to indicate that there is an overall improvement in health from immunizations. The current practice of vaccinating diabetics, as well as their close family members, is very risky practices. So, attacking your pancreas. I mean, these people are on drugs for life, and I think that's the outcome they want, to give you these vaccines that create these metabolic failures so that you have to take drugs for the rest of your life. So that's pretty sad that we have to protect ourselves from an industry promoted to heal the sick and dying. We have to be very discerning about what kind of treatment we get. We do.
We really do. And, you know, and that's one thing. I mean, our grandparents and even our parents, they just relied on, you went to the doctor and you just did whatever they told you to do.
Right.
I mean, there was never any questions. And that's certainly that you almost need advocates anymore. Because most folks, just like money, they don't understand, you know, the medical.
Well, I've read some journals from some of these old-timey doctors, you know, that actually went to the patient. Remember that? They used to make house mm-hmm. calls. Remember mm-hmm. those?
Sure.
They wrote very clearly that they never had a patient. They never had any cancer patients until the vaccinations were introduced. Yep. So, you know, you're talking about doctors that were in the 20s and 30s, and then when the vaccines came in pretty heavy in the 40s, that's when they started to roll them out as mandates for things. That's when you saw the cancer cases pick up, too.
And we're the only country in the world that has such a high rate of mm-hmm. cancer.
And well, I mean, and look at what New York was just recently doing. You know, they were mandating you to get, you know, a measles vaccine or you couldn't walk the streets, you know. So this is insane.
I mean, really other countries don't have the high cancer rates that we have, do they?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So, you know, got to execute some alternative therapy. Stand your ground. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Wendy. Always informative. And we'll be back in just a few short minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. And it certainly was a crazy day in the markets. And again, the markets, we see this turmoil due to the trade wars. And I think now I've heard President Trump, in one of his tweets, actually call it a trade war. Right? So we've graduated to a spat to a war. And China has warned its, and actually this came from the biggest newspaper in China, and they explicitly warned that the, they warned the U.S. that China could actually cut off the rare earth minerals as a countermeasure in the escalated trade battle. We advise the U.S. side not to underestimate the Chinese side's ability to safeguard its development rights and interests. Don't say we didn't warn you. And this is from the People's Daily, said in a commentary titled, United States Don't Underestimate China's Ability to Strike Back. Now, this paper is the official newspaper, and yes, Communist Party of China. It's used that expression it only used twice in history, both of which involved full-on wars. The phrase, don't say we didn't warn you, has only been used two other times by the People's Daily in history. In 63, ahead of China's border war with India, and in 1987, right before China went to war with Vietnam. Interesting.
Ho Chi Minh is rolling in his grave. Yes. The question, will rare earths become a counterweapon for China to hit back against the pressure the United States has put on for no reason at all? The answer is no mystery. So said the paper. The trade conflict between the world's two largest economies, as listeners know, has escalated quickly this month, with both sides slapping tariffs on billions of dollars worth of each other's goods. China's threat to restrict rare earth mineral sales to the U.S. comes after President Trump blacklisted Chinese telecom giant Huawei, which led to many chip makers and internet companies literally cutting ties with the company. The speculation of China's payback for service when Xi Jinping visited rare earth mining and processing facilities in the Jiangxi province during a domestic tour last week.
You're good at pronouncing those Chinese cities.
Oh,
good job.
I'm fascinated by that language. Mm-hmm. It's very artsy.
Yes. Well, there was another warning yesterday from a Chinese official that the products made from the materials should not be used against China's development, which was seen as a veiled threat aimed at the U.S. and the technology industry. And, you know, these rare earth materials, they're crucial to the production, Dave, of iPhones, electric vehicles, precision weapons, advanced precision weapons. Some of these imports are a relatively small part, though, of the $420 billion of U.S. goods deficit with China. So I guess that's a good thing, right?
I guess so.
So the Chinese tabloid, the Global Times, also said Tuesday, China can play the rare earth cards, and it's seriously considering the move. But you know what was interesting, too? I'm going to have it tonight. I'm going to do my conversation with James Corbett. On May 22nd, this was out of the Financial Times. Maybe you'd like to comment on this, too. There was U.S. government that tracks how many treasuries foreign investors buy and sell. Of course, we know that China is the largest foreign creditor to the U.S. government, with total treasury holdings in excess of $1.2 trillion. They sold $20 billion of securities with a maturity exceeding 1 year in March. Now, again, this shows you that this is China's largest retreat from the market in more than 2 years. My question is this more of a tit for tat? We're talking about tariffs. So if China is paying billions in tariffs, that was announced by President Trump, but then they sell $20 billion of securities with a maturity exceeding 1 year in March, isn't this a washout for the United States?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what China's motivations were with that $20 billion. It could have just been, you know, a matter of timing and liquidity needs. It could have been a sort of veiled threat at the U.S., you know, to say, hey, you know, we own 1.6 trillion. We're not going to renew this 20 bill. That's what? That's a good chunk. That's not chump change for sure. You know, they consider it the nuclear option. You know, these foreign countries, you know, choosing not to buy or to buy significantly less U.S. treasuries. You know, getting back to, you know, these rare earth materials, Melody, being crucial to the production of certain things. You know, iPhones, for example. You know, if I read a report the other day that said that if, you know, this trade war extends for a long period of time and China does what it's capable of doing and saying, hey, no iPhones for sale in China. You know, that's some say that could, you know, be a more than 20% cut in Apple profit. So that's you know, not that we care about any individual company, but the impact overall on American GDP could start and you know, just the effect as that trickles down to jobs and you know, the like. Yeah, we could, you know, we'll see, obviously, you know, what long-term effect this is all going to have.
The negative is the only thing that ever trickles down.
Indeed. Yeah. That's what it seems like.
But, you know, it's interesting, the 10-year yield, again, it's trading at the lowest level since September 2017, September 2017, yeah.
Yeah, I follow this pretty closely. Just it's something I've been interested in for a long time. And again, long-term government debt yields fell further below rates on short-term notes and bills. You know, that continued today. It's an unusual bond market phenomenon, you know. And those on Wall Street often herald it as, you know, a recession prognosticator, for lack of a better word. The yield curve inversion between the three-month T-bill and the 10-year note widened to its deepest level since the financial crisis over 10 years ago. Investors now expect a 13-basis-point premium for holding three-month bills over 10-year notes. The three-month bill, anchored by Fed policy, held steady at 2.36%. The 10-year note yield was trading right around a little less than 2.3%. In fact, 2.29 earlier today. That's the lowest since September 2017. The bottom line is that the yield curve continues to send a warning about slowing economic growth in the U.S. and the world. And many investors and economists you know, believe that, you know, a recession is on the horizon.
Right around the corner. And, you know, under normal market conditions, Dave, those that buy debt from the U.S. government for years are compensated with better interest rates than those who loan money for a matter of months. We talked a little bit about this yesterday with Greg Hunter. And that usual upward yield curve can sometimes slope downward as it is now, if bond traders believe that the GDP growth is likely to fall. I think we're going to be shocked at the GDP numbers. They're either going to lie their pants off or it's going to be shockingly low. Mm-hmm. The most recent angst about the economic outlook has sparked the Treasury purchases and a 5% decline in the S&P. And, of course, everyone is looking for a little more safety in this volatile market. So we saw the spread between the 10-year yield and the 2-year yield, the part of the yield curve that some believe is most important, remained a positive, I'll bet, flattish 15 basis points. So,
yeah, you know, investors that are tracked by the CME Group's Fed Watch tool believe the central bank is more likely than not to cut rates at least one time by the end of this year. I saw another article today where one of the big investment banks thought the Fed might be primed to cut at least three times or a total of 0.5%, 50 basis points. I just don't see it happening just yet. If indeed the yield curve continues to be inverted, and especially if we see a big drop in GDP in the second and third quarters, boy, I just don't see the Fed giving away. I mean, the Fed can't get out of its own way most of the time, but I just cannot see this Fed positioning itself by cutting rates, to what would amount to be roughly, 2%, the mid-range of their range, on the cusp of a recession, leaving them with very little leverage on a monetary policy response.
Yeah, but we know that the Fed, the main reason, we all talked about normalization and everything coming from the Fed. That was their, baby word and everything. And Janet Yellen, everything was based on data. But yet the underlying, I believe the Fed was raising rates, and I'm just not the only one who thinks this. They were raising rates just so they could lower them in times of a recession.
Right.
Hey, let's just raise these rates so we can lower them again. So, the markets and everyone else is expecting the Fed to accommodate them at a time of that we hit a recession. And I believe with them stopping raising rates in December like they did, calling it quits, that was the top that they can go. And they can cut a whole lot to go back to where they started from. And it's an election year, and they'll do everything possible. And I don't know if Powell would keep his job if Democrats got in there in 2020 or not. I don't know if they would change him out or not. But, maybe he's just trying to save his job, too. I mean, you don't know what really goes on. You have to know, Dave, that, they certainly don't have our best interest at heart. It's all about just keeping everything moving along slowly, and if they can keep us out of the recession till after the election, I think they're going to try it, but I don't think they're going to be successful. I think we're heading into a recession regardless of what they do, but I think they'll accommodate as quick as they can, because I think that's how bad things are going to be. So, but we'll see. Are we ready to place our bets, Dave?
I am. Make us an offer, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we had lower mortgage rates, home buyers. We have the spring housing season that's drawing to an end, and the mortgage rates just aren't enticing these home buyers. Mortgage application volume fell 3.3% last week compared with the previous week. And, of course, this is according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Volume was 15% higher, though, than the same week 1 year ago when the interest rates were higher. But we also know that homes prices are higher also. Mortgage refinance volume fell 6% for the week, but they were markedly higher than a year ago also. And the average contract interest rate for the 30-year fixed rate mortgages with conforming loan balances of $484,000 was unchanged last week at 4.33%.
Yeah, Joel Kahn, Melody, who's MBA's Associate Vice President of Economic and Industry Forecasting, said that concerns over European economic growth, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the program, and ongoing uncertainty about the trade war with China were some of the main factors that kept mortgage rates low last week. Mortgage apps to purchase a home fell 1% for the week, but were 7% higher annually. They've now fallen three straight weeks. Buyers are up against sky-high home prices, but prices have been softening for several months and are now seeing the smallest gains in 7 years. As we reported, sales were weak this spring because of short supply in the lower end of the market and high prices in the middle of the market. Lower mortgage rates do appear not to be helping all that much.
Well, you know, we're getting ready to head into a break, so we can finish this up here, how the U.S. Has escalated its battle with the European allies over the Iran nuclear accord. It's done so by threatening penalties against the financial body that was created by Germany, the U.K., and France to shield trade with the Islamic Republic from the U.S. sanctions. And there was a Treasury Department memo that said that INSTEX, which is the European vehicle to sustain trade with Tehran, and anyone associated with it could be barred from the U.S. financial system if it goes into effect. So you have Germany, you have France, and you have the U.K., and they created INSTEX in January. That's a hard,
yeah.
so simple, but yet difficult. Yeah. INSTEX in January. So it was just January that this was created, and this was to allow the companies to trade with Iran without the use of U.S. dollars or American banks. So that, in theory, would allow them to get around the U.S. sanctions. So I don't know how that's working out for them, Dave.
I don't know. Senior official involved in that internal debate that led to the letter said the U.S. decided to issue the threat after concluding that European officials were far more serious about it than they had initially let on. The official said the letter was intended to serve as a warning that the U.S. would punish anyone associated with INSTEX if they were working to set up a program to help Iran evade U.S. sanctions.
So the INSTEX was supposed to help address some of these issues, but you would have thought that you'd see a little weaker dollar, but
maybe if it gets up and running, we will.
Yeah. And what's up and running is the second segment of the program today as we're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to the archives of this program, and also the you can listen live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I have a little special today. If you heard me rustling papers, I was looking for it on my desk. It's a small special. A 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle coin, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle coin, and 20 silver eagles. We're going to include free shipping on all packages, even one package, and your total is $494. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We will run this until we run out of 10,000. We got a nice size batch of them, so this will probably be around till the end of the month with free shipping. So give us a call, 800-375-4188.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the month is in 2 days. Just kidding.
Well, that is correct.
So don't wait too long.
Don't wait too long, ladies and gentlemen. You got 2 days. What I find fascinating is Singapore leapfrogged Hong Kong and the United States to take the top spot among the world's most competitive economies for the first time in 9 years. The city-state's advanced technological infrastructure, the availability of skilled workers, favorable immigration laws, and efficiency for starting businesses supported its rise to the number one spot. Now, this was all according to the Switzerland-based IMD Business School, and they said this of its annual rankings. The U.S. fell 2 spots. As the confidence boost from the tax cuts faded and high technology exports weakened, you had the Asian Pacific economies performed particularly well, with the 11 of 14 in the region either improving or maintaining their rankings. Hong Kong was credited with a benign tax and business policy environment and access to business finance.
The rankings, which started in 1989, Melody, assesses 63 economies on 235 indicators. They're based on economic performance, infrastructure, government efficiency, and business efficiency. Now, Indonesia was a standout in the Asia-Pacific solid showing. Southeast Asia's biggest economy was most improved in the region as it jumped up 11 spots to number 32. Thailand jumped 5 places to number 25. That's thanks to a boost to foreign direct investment and productivity there. Japan, on the other hand, fell 5 spots amid sluggish economic growth, high government debt, and weakening business conditions. The picture was decidedly more mixed for European economies. The UK fell to number 23 from number 20 last year, which the IMD attributed to Brexit uncertainties. Denmark and the Netherlands each dropped 2 spots, while both holding on to top 10 status. Ireland advanced 5 spots into the top 10 to number 7, and Switzerland improved by 1 to remain the most competitive European economy. Embattled Venezuela, by a long shot, finished way last.
Way, way last.
Come on,
who was
Venezuela.
I wonder who was second to last.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll find that out.
Well, it's time for our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden. Dave, it looks like today's topic is about burnout.
For sure, Melody. If you often feel exhausted or mentally distant at work,
no,
as most of us had 1 or 2 days over the course of our careers, the World Health Organization, don't kill the messenger, may have a diagnosis for you, burnout, quote, unquote. For the first time, the WHO has officially classified workplace burnout as an occupational phenomenon in its latest revision of the International Classification of Diseases, ICD. The WHO said yesterday that burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. The organization said burnout, which WHO doesn't call a medical condition, is classified by three factors: feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, check; increased mental distance from one's job or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job; and reduced professional efficacy, which I guess refers to one's sense of value or purpose in the workplace. Now, burnout is included as a cause for which people may contact health services for a reason other than an illness or health condition. Some even fault the syndrome for pushing employees in the medical profession to commit suicide due to intense stress. Now, Dan Schwabel, who's a research director at HR advisory firm Future Workplace, said the syndrome is now an epidemic, and he expects the issue to worsen. You know, basically, he said, workers are getting taken advantage of. As a result, people are burned out. They're stressed out. Schwabel said burnout has become a problem as employees work more and feel they're not being fairly compensated. Though Americans do, on average, get 10 days of vacation, Schwabel said employees are often pressured into skipping vacation days. We talked about that a few months ago, about how much of that kind of paid time off employees are leaving on the table for a variety of reasons. He added that technology also plays a role in the rise of burnout because employees often have to respond to emails or calls outside of normal work hours. Schwabel said not having your phone is the new vacation, which is a sad commentary because it's probably probably reflects the reality of far too many workers in America and throughout the world. Now, you know, burnout doesn't just negatively affect workers either. Schwabel pointed to a 2017 study that says 95% of human resource leaders say the syndrome sabotages workplace retention. The WHO also noted that burnout prevents professional success. So, you know, the WHO said it plans to develop evidence-based guidelines for mental well-being in the workplace, and its member nations are expected to implement the revisions to the ICD, that classification of diseases, by 2022. Melody, I'd go on, but I'm afraid I'm suffering from a case of, yes, you guessed it, workplace burnout. And that is this week's Brevity is Golden. Good night.
Tough. Pull up your little boy panties and let's get on with this show.
I'm with you. I'm back. Second wind.
But you know what? Even with Wendy's segment during the break, we were talking about, you know, here we have the greatest nation. We should be the healthiest. We should be, and we're not. We have all these cancers. And now we're looking at workplace burnout. These are not signs of things, and maybe we've just had, is this what happens when you've had it too good for too long?
Interesting question.
Is this what happens when, I mean, we can no longer, you know, are people working two jobs? They're certainly not working more hours because hours have been cut. We don't work 40 hours anymore. Wages certainly have not gone up, which is a symptom of our monetary policy. We've talked, I remember talking about this program, I think it was on another one, it could have been with Butch, where colleges have stress closets where students can go in there, or boxes, they can go in there, close the door, and just scream their heads off to release the stress. I mean, we see our mental health decline in this country. I mean, these are just issues that, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's been going on for some time, too. I remember, when was the TV show MASH on? Back in the 80s? Remember one of the early shows, Dr. Benjamin Hawkeye Pierce said, I think it was to Trapper John, so it must have been earlier in the show series, America, the land of the free, home of the brave, as well as the right to work 80-hour work weeks and have a heart attack by the time you're 40 years old. He certainly said it in a more humorous way than I just did, but it was an early symptom, I think, of not that America worked too hard, but perhaps individuals certainly working working longer and not necessarily smarter.
But I think it might be here. I see it. I think people love to work. Because it does give you, your sense of being and who you are and so forth. Once that work is taken away and you don't have the same, if you're not challenged, and maybe that's part of technology. Well, so if you're not challenged, I would think you'd burn out sooner than if you're actually being challenged and being, creative to some degree in your work and so forth. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of birth, and maybe I'm just,
Hey, I think it's worthy of discussion and further research. It's important stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because this is our society, and our society is struggling to some degree. We see the split. More so now than we ever, maybe what I could recall. And so it's interesting that all of these things are happening, and maybe I don't know what to do about it, but bring jobs back and go to work, and I don't know, put us on gold standard so our wages would rise. That would work. That would help. Anyway, and then you add this. And here's another reason that people are having difficult times. Nearly 30% of respondents in a new Gallup survey rate their financial situation as only fair. 30%. And 15% say it's poor. Meanwhile, about 25% worry all or most of the time that their household income won't be enough to cover their expenses. Their biggest concerns are saving enough for retirement, especially unplanned medical costs. You have 54% and 51% respectively saying they're very or moderately worried about each prospect. And you can look at other studies that kind of point to why. Northwestern Mutual surveyed more than 2,000 U.S. adults last year and found that a third have less than $5,000 stashed away for retirement. We hear all the time that people can't even afford a $400 emergency.
Yeah.
So, and $5,000, when people now talk about $1 million to retire, that's they got a far way to go. So experts generally recommend trying to accumulate $1 million. So, and 21% have nothing saved at all, Dave.
Consider a precious metals IRA, ladies and gentlemen. If you if you're still working, you have earned income, and you're concerned about the short-term tax impact of any investment earnings, capital gains, price appreciation, maximizing what's allowed under current law. You and possibly your spouse could put several thousand dollars a year in individual retirement accounts that consist solely of precious metals. Go to our website again, dgscoins.com. You'll see the IRA option. Click on that for additional information. Or call us at 1-800-375-4188. We'll be happy to talk with you directly about that. Melody.
So is there anything else about, let's go on, and this is what I found interesting. We got 2 minutes left. The Trump administration, President Trump, refrained from labeling China a currency manipulator.
Yeah, it's a decision that leaves one of the president's campaign promises unfulfilled, but does avoid further escalation for now in the trade war between the U.S. and China, the world's largest two economies, as we say ad nauseum. You know, the Treasury Department issued its semi-annual, twice-a-year foreign exchange report to Congress, expanding the number of countries whose currency and economic policies are scrutinized to 21 from 12. That's a significant increase, both in a real sense and percentage-wise. Five countries, Ireland, Italy, Vietnam, Singapore, and Malaysia, joined China, Japan, South Korea, and Germany on the watch list. India and Switzerland were removed. So there were some changes to the criteria used to evaluate countries, which you know, accounted for this report, which was officially due in mid-April, being partially delayed.
Interesting that they change the evaluations. Anyway, 800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
To be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my